Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Welcome back, Lonnie the Theater Lady, to Berg Vivant.
Nice to be here.
Oh, yes, nice to have you as always. Talking to us today about The Chalk Line at Attack Theater.
Yes, I saw that last night. And the first thing that I could not believe about this performance, it was 90 minutes, including an intermission. And I couldn't believe that it was 90 minutes. After the first act, I said to my friend, that can't be the end of act one, because it went so fast. And then when it was over, I said, it can't be over. No, it can't be over. It was so engrossing, and there was so much going on the stage. The performance area was huge.
So as a dance show, it moves in more ways than one.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Indeed. It really did. The Attack Theater is really an interesting dance company. They've been around for 19 years now. Mm-hmm. And Michelle De La Reza and Peter Cope are the co-artistic directors and I guess choreographers too. And they do things that are really original and different. And you won't go see them do Alvin Ailey streams. You know, everything they do is totally original. And this, The Chalk Line, is a world premiere, of course. Just opened, I think it was Friday. And it's running through November 13th. Even people that are not aficionados of dance, I think, would enjoy this. It told a story. I don't think this is a spoiler alert, but it starts at the end. And I won't say how, but it creates a mystery. And that's one of the things they're using in their advertising. It's a mystery. And I thought, how can it be a mystery?
Now, are there words, or there dialogue, or it's purely movement?
It's mostly movement, but there's a little bit of dialogue, which surprised me, but just a little bit here and there. And there's a lot of chalk. That's The Chalk Line.
True there. To the title. Very good.
And it's written on a big wall in the back. There's the set has kind of a loft-type living room, and then a big wall in the background that's representative of several different things, including a shower. But they, with very simple line drawings that are so easily understandable, you get taken to where they are. And the backdrop, which is a wall, at one point becomes a floor.
Huh. Dynamic.
Yes. And pieces of the floor, after a chalk line is drawn, can be lifted or moved. And then at the other side of the set, there's kind of they use it almost like a sliding board, a ramp that they could walk up and slide down, and then there was a chalkboard up there on which many things were written. It's hard to describe, but it was mostly about the relationships between the characters, and you didn't realize until the end that the beginning was the end.
Mm.
Reminded me of Sunset Boulevard.
Oh, remember now you're that? Speaking my language.
Yes. But the dancers, of course, They're always young, beautiful, toned, you know.
Aren't they always?
Yes. And Liz Chang is one of the dancers. I won't specifically comment on each of the dancers because they were all so engaged in what they were doing and moved so beautifully and so expressively that they were all just outstanding. And there was Caitlin Dan was another one, and Brent Lubert, and Dane Torrey and Ashley Williams. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I'm going again. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. This is exciting. This is really exciting to me. I am really excited. There's a Monday night show.
Oh, that is.
On November 11th. And I said, perfect Monday night for any cultural arts aficionado. Mm-hmm. You must go because that's the only place to go on a Monday night.
Yeah, Mondays are typically a dark day in the theater.
I know. I even thought it was a misprint. And I said, Monday? This is a Monday? Yep. Monday. Oh, and there's a pre-show reception every night at 7:30. And I didn't tell you about the space. The space was really cool. It is across the street. It's at Liberty and 25th, and across the street from their business office, which is in the Pittsburgh Opera building. They share a space. They're on the third floor. Mm-hmm. The opera has the lower two floors. But I was there earlier this week as they were building the places for people to sit. I don't want to say bleachers because they have chairs, but but the floor is the performance space. And I thought, there's no way this is going to be ready for the weekend. There were buzzing and hammers and saws and so much activity and so much going on, and the dancers were rehearsing at the same time that this was all happening, and it was pretty crazy. And when I walked in last night to see it, I thought it was a miracle that it was so together and looked so good and just did everything they needed it to do. But the space is so huge where the dancers are that there might be some dancers over here kind of in the loft apartment, while there might be a dancer back here and a dancer up by the chalkboard. So there was so much happening that sometimes you weren't sure where to look. Even though there were only five dancers, I think they did the work of about 50. It was a wonderful show, very emotional. It was so cool. It was pre-recorded music mostly, and orchestral and some kind of classical. Mm-hmm. But at any given moment, Stu Braun on the harmonica might be heard playing live. And I moved my seat just to get a different perspective because they're big girders, three of them, around which the dancers are dancing, and it becomes part of the show, part of the set. But of course, they're permanent. That's what holds the roof up. But anyway, so I changed my seat, and when I moved for the second act to get a different perspective, I could see the harmonica player, and it was such beautiful harmonica music, like bluesy, and which I love. You know, I love the blues. But not just bluesy, so much emotion, even in the harmonica. And then
Yeah, because the harmonica you just usually think is a campfire cowboy sort of thing. So for someone to elevate that, you know, to a artistic level, it's pretty
neat. Loved it. And he was, I don't know what else was back there. Washboard, bells. You never knew when he jumped in with some additional music. You never exactly knew what you'd be hearing. But all of it was very appealing. It wasn't in the least bit hard to hear or offensive. But I would have to say that even if you didn't totally understand the whole story that was happening, you would still enjoy it because of the grace and the beauty of movement. And at the beginning of the show, Michelle De La Reza and Peter Cope did a little introduction and welcome to people. And it was really as cute as the show. apparently the night before he hadn't followed the script that she wanted him to follow. Not that it was scripted, but he wasn't responding or following the trend of what she was trying to say. So he kept pulling a script from behind his back and reading, "So then I will," you know, that kind of thing. And it had everybody laughing, and it set the scene for this performance that was magnificent, emotional, but funny. There were some funny scenes. I particularly like the scene that they did with the William Tell Overture.
Oh, always a crowd pleaser.
Yeah, well, not just the music. Their movements to the music had everybody laughing. And there was another scene. I don't want to give away anything too much because of the surprises, but there was another scene when one of the commandments was written on a chalkboard, and then several times. And then certain
like
words...
Like as punishment?
Yes. And certain words were changed in it and manipulated that it became...
That's a loaded story, I'll bet.
Yeah, it is. But
now, as a former teacher, did this chalkboard motif give you any flashbacks?
No, because I was never very good at drawing on the chalkboard. I could print and...
You just shouted it out,
these
right?
Are, these things that they did were... Very, who is it? Was it Picasso that did that with the very short, simple lines? Or was
there
it
were a
Basquiat?
Couple.
Basquiat did that.
Picasso was one, yeah.
And that's what it was. It was just some simple lines, and they were drawing on the walls, on the floor, on the chalk, everywhere. And what they drew contributed so much to what was happening in the story. But this is the kind of show that is so unique.
And developed by Attack Theater.
Yes, so. Absolutely. This is totally their thing.
It's an original piece.
An original piece, totally original, and very thought-provoking and beautiful. Very beautiful.
So what is it exactly, out of all those wonderful things that you mentioned, that is compelling you to see this a second time?
Because there was so much happening that... I think as I was looking left, I was missing what was happening right.
There's a lot to take in.
Yes, even though there are only five dancers, they're everywhere and they're covering such a large space. And a lot of times they're interacting, all five of them, but there might be something happening in the living room, and there might be something happening by the chalkboard. I could probably see it every night.
Wow.
And see something new and enjoy it and appreciate it because the music was so beautiful. It starts out, the music is so haunting in the very beginning. And then in the second act, you're hearing music from Metallica. And I mentioned the William Tell Overture, and it's just all over the place, just like our emotions are, because that's what this was about. This was about emotions and relationships, and it was...
Now, I know how much that you yourself enjoy dancing.
Yes, I do.
Did you see yourself in this at all?
Oh, my goodness, no. These people are so talented and so disciplined and so flexible.
Now, I've seen you boogie down to Edwin Starr, okay? So don't be modest.
No, they put me to shame. Trust me on that. No, I didn't even... any point, there was not one point that I wanted to get up there and dance with them, because
how respectful
I would be embarrassed. I would have been embarrassed.
But that hasn't stopped you at other places. So if you had to put together an interpretive dance show yourself, what songs would you use from your dance repertoire?
Well, you know one.
25 miles to go. Yeah.
And I'd have to wear my ski boots for that one.
Yeah.
What else? Oh, gosh. Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, and Sexual Healing. Don't forget that one. I love
that. I think you can pull off a solo dance show with all of this.
We'll talk to Michelle.
Do that, you know.
See what she thinks.
You know, and I think the audition would be, you know, a couple of martinis and, you know, a boombox.
Well, we could maybe...
Wind you up and let you go.
We could present it as a comedy show, maybe. That might be...
You think?
I know. But I want... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you actually know a lot about the dance scene in Pittsburgh from, you know, the dance era. You know,
the dance
clubs and things.
Yes.
You were out and about.
I was. Heaven was heaven for me.
And that was one of the clubs, mm-hmm. right?
That's where the Renaissance Hotel is now. Oh, my
gosh.
You
danced in heaven.
That was a wonderful place. I did. I used the men's room in heaven, but...
What?
There was a big, long line at the ladies' room. So I said to somebody, would you take me in there? He said, sure.
Oh, you had to go with an escort.
Yes. Yes, I wasn't familiar. In heaven...
What do you think goes on in there?
No. I mean, with that particular men's room. That's why I had to...
As opposed to the others that
you frequent often. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
But back to Attack Theater. I wanted to tell you something really cool that they do. First of all, they go into schools,
mm-hmm.
universities, elementary schools, and they do workshops with the kids, outreach programs. They did one for me when I was teaching several years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A movement workshop, and they helped me to teach the digestive system and how it worked through movement, assigning the students different parts of the digestive system to use. And I did some lessons after that in science and social studies using movement the way Michelle had taught me and taught the kids, and it was very effective. They learned a lot from it, and they do staff development in schools, and they're in an international company, dance company. They tour the U.S. and they've also performed in Europe. And
I've always been curious about the title Attack Theater. Did you at any point feel accosted?
Where do you come up with these questions?
I'm curious. No, if I had to guess, I think it's, you know, it grabs you. You know, because movement, body language is universal, you know,
yes,
and I think that we forget that a lot of times, mm-hmm. you know, how expressive we can be with no words at all, you know, in this age of excess. You know, where it's all bells and whistles. When you get right down to it, I mean, when the body in motion is a language that translates.
It is
anywhere
universal.
And everywhere.
Absolutely.
So I think maybe, you know, it's visceral. So attack, it grabs you, you know. It communicates immediately.
That could be. That's a good question.
And, you know, when it comes to comedy, too, I think some of the most brilliant comedy is physical comedy.
Yes.
It's tricky, but it speaks in every language. And when you get a great physical comedian, I mean, they are brilliant in what they do. You don't need words.
And just think, when you travel in a foreign country, you don't speak the language, you come across somebody that doesn't speak the language.
You just go like this,
and
they know you
out.
Need a cocktail. I've had to do that many times.
I'm sure you have.
Even in English-speaking countries, when I can no longer speak. And they're like...
But talking about the motion and the movement and how that is universal, mm-hmm. when you said that, I specifically, in my mind, was seeing some of the things that I saw last night on stage. And there were things... that I found myself, as I watched it, I found myself smiling mm-hmm. and at the joy without words. But
you're like, gee, look at what somebody in shape can do. You know, that's what I would have been thinking. You know, it's like, wow, I've thrown my life away. I will never be that limber again. And I'd be smiling.
It was just, and the opposite. There were times that just through the movement I could feel myself feeling sad and I could feel...
What did it leave you with? I mean, what thoughts did it provoke? You know, what did you take away?
What did I take away from that? I think mostly it was my amazement that a story could be told with so few words even the opera, they're singing, but you don't know what they're singing. They need the, what do you call that? Opera scan or the words?
Super titles.
Super titles? Whatever.
I believe that's it, yeah.
You need that, or else you really wouldn't know too much of what was going on. But this, you could figure out just through the motions.
And because I thought the body speaks, yeah.
To tell a story that clearly and that emotionally without words, pretty remarkable to me.
How much chalk you think they go through in a night?
Oh, a lot of chalk.
Yeah.
A lot of, and they're the big fat.
Like playground chalk?
Yes. Awesome. Really nice chalk. Awesome. Not like the chalk I used to use that would break in your hands. They'd get that cheap chalk to save money at the school, and you go to write and the chalk would break right in your hand.
Or it would, you get the squeak because it would have that like coating on it.
Mm-mm.
But you know what I'm talking about.
I do, but there's a technique to that.
Oh.
You don't get the squeak if you know how to properly hold the chalk. So if you really want to torture your students, if they're misbehaving, you hold it the wrong way and squeak the chalk. That gets their attention.
As you write their name very slowly. Have you seen everybody and their mother is sending in an email. The guy that does the chalk drawings on the street that are
yes.
like really elaborate, and from a certain point of view, it looks like you're going to fall down a pit
3D,
or like
there's
a shark coming out or something.
It wasn't like that. These were
very and civilized. Nor am I suggesting. I'm just, you know, we're on chalk here, so
okay.
I'm kind of going with that. I don't know how that guy does that.
In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvavant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvavant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvavant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.